All right. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell me your name, where you're from, and when you were born?
My name is George Rutherford. I was born in October 1935, born in Charlestown, West Virginia, and I have been living here all my life, 84 years.
Wow. You don't look 84. Why don't you tell me about your family background?
Well, I was born in a section of Charlestown called Dogtown, which is a permanent all-black section. And my mother died when I was 2 years old, and my father raised three boys, so he took care of us. And I went to a all-black school, graduated from the school, and then I went to Stuart College, which was an all-black college in Harpers Ferry. I went there for about a semester, left there and went into the service for 3.5 years, came out, then I went to Shepherd College, got the BA and the BS, left Shepherd College and went to Marshall and got my master's, and then after that I worked in Job Corps, I worked in, oh God, 3 or 4 different federal agencies.
What was your bachelor's and master's in?
I got a BA in biological science and secondary education. Uh-huh. And I taught school for 1 year.
In science?
Yeah, biology science.
Uh-huh. And then what about your master's?
A master in biological science.
Okay. And then what agencies did you work for?
I was a park ranger for the Park Service. I worked in the Forest Service as a teacher for Job Corps. Worked in the Veteran Administration as a nursing assistant. I worked in the Fish and Wildlife Service as a program manager. Yeah, space utilization specialist and just general.
Wow, that's a lot. It's a broad range. What did you do? Where were you a park ranger?
I was a park ranger in Washington, D.C., the Capital Region. Uh-huh. Park Service.
So along the National Mall?
Yes.
Did you live in Ranson the whole time?
I lived in Ranson. I lived in Charlestown until I was around 1965. And then I had this house built here in Ranson, which is right next door to Charlestown. I've been living here ever since.
Nice. Could you tell me about the Historical Society and how it started and what it does?
Yeah, the Historical Society got started around 2000. The year 2000, there were four of us. Nathaniel Downing, James Taylor, James and myself. The four of us got started, and the purpose of it was to do some history of Jefferson County. All of us had different parts of the thing. We never had it put together, so the four of us came together and one day and decided let's get an organization formed to do it. So we got ourselves incorporated. And then we got ourselves as a 501c3. And then we began to do books. Mostly our books was on the John Brown Raiders. Mm. And then we also did an Acadia book, one of those books. We also did a film, video film. And it just so happened, I guess, our biggest achievement was in around 2003. There was a house in Charlestown that was vacant, and the city was going to condemn it. And it just so happened that James Taylor, our president, saw it and talked to the owner. And the owner said he wanted to get rid of it, and that he knew of a historical group that wanted it. Well, it just so happened it was a double house. It was a stone house and a wooden house next to it. We wanted the stone house because the stone house was the first house that was built by free blacks in this area in 1830, when slavery was still going on. So these free blacks built this stone house, and right next to it was this other house. Well, we didn't want the other house, so we wasn't going to tear down the connecting to it. And so one day, Walter Washington, which is a relative of George Washington, told us the historical significance of the wooden house. It seemed that the wooden house was owned by John Blessing. And John Blessing is the man that John Brown gave his Bible to on his way to the gallows.
Wow.
And that Bible is worth over $1 million now. It's in the Chicago Museum. And he lived in a house, a wooden house, but he died in the stone house because they connected them together. So very historical. Mm-hmm. So we bought it. I think we paid about $35,000 for it, something like that. And we didn't have no money at all. However, we were very fortunate. We had to pay it off in 3 months. We had a study done, a comprehensive study done by the state, what it calls to get it fixed up. And it came to over $300,000. And so we steadily worked on it. And after a couple of years, we got it fixed up so that we could do tours of it. We had tours come in from Canada, Chatham, Canada. Two or three busloads came in. And the reason why they came in, because they were interested in the John Brown aspect, especially with the John Blessing. Also had bus tours come in from Richmond, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. There was a lady over in WVU, Dr. Barbara Rasmussen. She also came and helped us work with it, and she thought that that complex was one of the most important in this area, that we could really do two or three stores there, and we could have busloads come in. She said they'll even bring busloads in from WVU just to come down and study the site. However, in the meantime, Shepherd College has been here a couple of times. Even the president has come over here and bought tours over here just to tour the structure. The reason why that is important, let me back up. In the same complex we own, we put a slave cabin in the back. There was a slave cabin that was located about two blocks from there, and the man wanted to get rid of it, so we took it and had it put down in the backyard, and now it's up. So our plans was fourfold, to have the people come in the stone house and get the history of the free blacks. And they can go upstairs and look at how the bedrooms look and everything. That's the free blacks part. Mm-hmm. You come out the back door and go in the backyard, you got the slave quarters. There you have the story of the slaves. Then you go right next to it, the stone house, you get the story of John Blessing, his relationship to John Brown. He is also the cook for Robert E. Lee. He's also the cook for the Mobley Raiders. And then you also get the story of Ollie Blessing. She was one of the first female principals, white principals, here in the county, and she had a large following. So, and in the backyard, they have the garden and everything they had. So therefore, there's four stories there. And our plan was to really turn it into a living history site where people can really come and have people in costume do it. But the problem is age got us, so we couldn't do it. And then death got us, and so there's only two of us left.
Wow.
So we're in the process of getting rid of it now.
Okay. There aren't any younger folks who want to take it on?
We couldn't find them, but they're going to take money.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a group that is going to take it over. As a matter of fact, it was a group that we helped get organized.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully by the end of the year, they will have they'll have it lock, stock, and barrel.
Oh, that'd be great.
But everything is pretty well in control. As a matter of fact, we even put heat in the system. We got two HVAC in there.
Wow.
It's we have put over $100,000 in.
That's a lot. What's the name of the group that's taking it over?
The Friends of the Web Blessing. And the Friends of the Web Blessing is really the lady who run it for us was working with us. And we convinced her and some other people to get herself organized and take it over completely.
Mm-hmm. What are the names of the books and films you produced?
The Life of Dangerfield Newby, who won the Raiders. The Life of Leary, who was one of the Raiders. The Life of the other two Raiders. I don't have have the Acadia book there. I have the Acadia book somewhere here. That would it.
What's Acadia?
Can you hold it a minute?
Yep. Mm-hmm.